We were learning the Mishnah, Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, and we got up to the point where the Mishnah says, Lo Yekav Adam Es Rosho Keneged Shar HaMizrach Shehu Mechuvan Keneged Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim. The Gemara explains that there's a pasuk in Chumash, O Migdoshi Tiro'u. There's a mitzvah, Mora HaMigdosh. Mora HaMigdosh doesn't, the Gemara in Yevamah says in the beginning, it does mean you should be afraid that the walls of the Beis HaMikdash may collapse on you. Lo min HaMikdash ata misyari ala misha shikin ishmoy ala HaMikdash. You should act with extreme yirash. There's a mitzvah of es Hashem alakech atira, to have yirash HaMayim all the time. But one, when in the Beis HaMikdash or near the Beis HaMikdash, one has to act with extreme yirash HaMayim. An extra mitzvah of Yerushalayim. In Beis HaKnesses, the Novi Yecheskel lived before the Churban Bayis Rishon, and during and after. So he said, B'nevuah, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, and the Jews will be sent into the Golas Bavel. And he said, V'ehi lehem lemikdash me'at, I'll have a miniature Beis HaMikdash there in Bavel. So the Gemara in the end of Megillah says that's referring to all the Bati Knesses, Bati Midrash, and Sheva Bavel. All the shuls all over the world and all the yeshivas all over the world, they have a status of a Migdash Miat. What does it mean, a real Migdash and a Migdash Miat? What's exactly the difference? Rav Soloveitchik said, based on the Gemara later in Brochas Taka over here, the Beis HaMigdash is God's home and we go to visit by Him. And the Beis HaKnesses is our home. And he comes, the Shechina, the Rebbe Shalom, comes to visit by us. And both in the Beis HaMikdash and in the Beis HaKnesses, we meet up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a rendezvous with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But in the Beis HaKnesses, he's coming to visit us. And the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to visit him in his home. So since when you go to visit the king in the palace, you have to even dress up fancier than if the king is coming to visit you. So that's why in Beis HaMikdash there's a din on Moira HaMikdash, extreme kavod. And Beis HaKnesses is a din of kvod Beis HaKnesses. So the Gemara says later, what is required in a Beis HaKnesses? What degree of kavod is required in Beis HaKnesses? So the Gemara is going to say, ki beiso. Just like if you visit someone else's home. If you're visiting in someone else's home, it's pouring outside. I'm walking in the street with boots, so I'm going to walk into your home with the boots on. So that's not Derech Eretz. You wouldn't want me to walk in with the wet boots. I'm going to make your carpet dirty, I'm going to make your tiles dirty, making the wooden floor dirty. You have to take off your wet boots before. So in the Beis HaKnesses, even if the shul has such a floor that they can wash the floor. But you're not supposed to walk in with the sopping wet boots. You wouldn't do that if you'd walk into someone else's home. But in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to act with extreme covered square. That's why it's called Mora HaMikdash. The Gemara has an expression. Where is this expression? The Gemara says, Ki Beiso. And the Gemara talks about, we'll get there, okay. We'll soon be there. That just like if you'll be going into someone else's home, you have to act with Derech Eretz. So too, when you enter into the Beis HaKnesses, you have to act with Kovod. So that's the difference between Moira and Kovod. Moira Beis HaMikdash and Kovod Beis HaKnesses. We mentioned once that Rabbi Yosef Engel points out the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash on the Pasuk of Zachar v'Shamar in Parshas Yisro, says that there's a fundamental difference between Zohar and Shomer. Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, is a mitzvah saseh, and Shomer is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, he's Shomer Pein Lial, is a loy saseh. And the Ramban says that's why the Ibn Ezra says, why did the Gemara only work on the contradiction between the text of the Luchas Rishonis and the Luchas Shnias with respect to Zohar and Shomer? There's so many other contradictions. So the Ramban says, what's written in Parshas, whenever the Chumash quotes somebody as saying something, or the Chumash quotes what it said somewhere, not necessarily verbatim what the person said or what it says. So when the Chumash, both in Parshas Yisro and in Parshas Vayeschanan, when it quotes the text of the Aseres HaDibros, it could be that neither is verbatim what it said in Aseres HaDibros. The Torah just gives you the gist of what it said. So the gist is approximately the same. It could be that it didn't say either version, because the Luchas Shnius was the same text as the Luchas Rishonis. So there is no difference between the two. Could be that the text was just a third text. But Zachar Shamar, what is the gist of the mitzvah? Because one is a mitzvah sesse, one is a mitzvah slesse. So that's not the same at all. That's why the Gemara was only worried about this contradiction. What was the text that was written? The Gemara says, Zachar Shamar, b'di brechadam. So the Ramban writes in his commentary on Chumash that the binding force of all of the mitzvahs, we have 248 mitzvahs asay, we have 365 mitzvahs lois asay. So the binding force of performing mitzvahs asay is avas Hashem. We have a mitzvah to love God, we have a mitzvah to fear God. So the mitzvah avas Hashem, to love God, is what requires of us to fulfill. That's the source of the obligation to observe all the mitzvahs asay. You have to put on tefillin, say Kriya Shema, and blow a shofar and Rosh Hashanah, and so on and so forth. And the binding force of all of the lois asay is Yiras Hashem. We have to fear God, so we shouldn't violate His instructions. So which is more important of the two mitzvahs, Avas Hashem or Yiras Hashem? So the Ramban thinks that Avas Hashem is more important. To love God is a more important mitzvah than to fear God. And that's the reason why we have a din that Eseh Decha Lois Eseh. Whenever you have a conflict between observing a mitzvah Eseh and not violating a Lois Eseh, so Avas Hashem requires of us we should observe the mitzvah Eseh, so that's more important than Eseh Decha Lois Eseh. But in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Ad Kan the Ramban, so Rabbi Yosef Engel Ad Zan, but in the Beis HaMikdash, because there is an added din of a Mikdoshi Tirohu, and it doesn't mean you should fear the Beis HaMikdash, it means you should act with an extreme degree of kavod. That's how the Gemara says. It's kavod square. Beis HaKnesses is kavod Beis HaKnesses, and Beis HaMikdash is Mora HaMikdash. And the Gemara says in the beginning of Yevamos, it does mean you should fear that the structure, the building, the walls of the Beis HaMikdash are going to collapse on you. It means you should act with extreme kavod out of respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should fear God. The mitzvah of Yiras Hashem is more, should be more pronounced when one is in the Beis HaMikdash. So since in the Beis HaMikdash we would place more emphasis on Yiras Hashem than on Avas Hashem, so that's why Eseh is not Decha Lois Eseh. So the Ramban says in its commentary on Yisro, the whole reason why Eseh Decha Lois Eseh is because Avas Hashem is more important than Yiras Hashem. But in the Beis HaMikdash, so then the Gemara has this call, the Ein Eseh Decha Lois Eseh, Sheba Migdosh. The Gemara proves it because you have a din by Korban Pesach. You're not allowed to break any bones in the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara said, what do you do? Let's say if you have 10, 15 people who are all shutfim in the Korban Pesach, and then it comes to eating the Korban Pesach, so the 14 out of the 15 are going ahead, and they already ate the Korban Pesach, and the other guy is saying the Haggadah slowly. It comes time to eat the Korban Pesach. They ate everything up. There's no more meat left. So he won't be able to be Yotze. So he was Yotze in the mitzvah of Hakrovah's Korban Pesach. Because at the time of the Hakrovah, the likelihood was, there was a chance of for everybody to eat a Kazayis of Korban Pesach. If you become Shutav in a Korban Pesach, but you're not able physically, not able to eat a Kazayis, or simply there's not enough Kazayisim for all of the 100 Shutavim in a Korban Pesach, it's a tiny animal. There isn't enough room for 10, for 100 people. The Gemara says they had approximately 10 people and every Korban Pesach was shutfim. Because the animals are born that season of the year, so they're very tiny. The size of a little kitten or a puppy or something like that. Very small. They're not so big. So if there wasn't, at the time of Akrovas at Pesach, it looked like he's not going to be able to eat a kazayis, then it's not yet in the mitzvah of Akrovah, then he has to bring Pesach Shem. If he was Yotze in the mitzvah of Hakrov, at the time of Hakrov, it looked like there is a possibility for him to, for everybody to eat a kazayis. Then later on, the other 14 people went ahead and they ate everything up. There's nothing left for him. So the Gemara says he was Yotze in Korban Pesach, he doesn't have to bring Pesach Shem. He was Yotze the first mitzvah of Hakrov, he's not Yotze in the mitzvah of Achidus Korban Pesach. But Achidus Korban Pesach is not Miakev in the mitzvah of Hakrov. It's Miakev in the mitzvah of Achila. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Achila, but it's not Ma'akev in the mitzvah of Akrava, therefore he doesn't have to bring Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara raises the question, if 14 people gobbled up the whole Korban Pesach, by the time the 15th fella gets to eating Korban Pesach, there's nothing left, maybe he should be permitted to break the bones in order to suck out the marrow. Because the marrow inside the bones, etzem sheyesh bo moach, so the moach is dinik kibosar, has mamsh that din like flesh. So maybe he should be permitted to break, to violate etzem lasish burbo, to break some bones in the Korban Pesach, and to suck out the marrow and to be yotze the mitzvah. The Gemara says, no. Ein eser dechel eser sheba migdosh. That's how the Gemara establishes the din in the Gemara in Zoch. There, there's all discussion. Eser dechel eser is only if it's biyidna. So when he's going to crack the bones, that's going to be before he's going to suck out the marrow. So maybe the reason why it's not, maybe the reason why the Torah has a din etzma lasish burbo is because eser dechel eser doesn't apply. You'll have to violate the avera now and only fulfill the mitzvah later. So according to the rules and regulations, you shouldn't apply Eser Dechel Eser.
Can you eat the Korban Pesach throughout Yerushalayim, so it's not just in the Mikdash?
Yeah. I mean, why is it called Bamigdash? Why is it called Bamigdash? It's Yerushalayim. It means it's in connection with the Beis Hamikdash, yeah. Even though the din of Mikdash in Tiro doesn't apply in the rest of Yerushalayim. But because it's started off in the Beis Hamikdash, it's governed with the rules of En Eser Dechel Eser Sheh Bamigdash. This is an issue. How did the Gemara prove? How did the Gemara establish this principle that Ein Eser Dechel Eser Shebamigdosh based on Korban Pesach Etzem Lasish Brubo? That's not biyitna. If the din, even if there would have been a din of Eser Dechel Eser, it wouldn't apply by Shviras Etzem because it's not biyitna. So in that Gemara, there's a Piske HaTosfos. Piske HaTosfos in the back always gives you the Piske halacha that come out from the Tosfos. Every so often, there's a psak in the Piske HaTosfos that we don't have a Tosfos that corresponds to. So obviously, the one who sometimes the printer, when what was the name of the printer? Gutenberger, the first Shas was printed by the Goy. I forgot about him. Bamberger was the first Shas. I forgot about him. Anyway, so when they printed the first Shas, every so often they had to cut out a thesis because there wasn't enough room to fit it on a page. Every so often they left out lines from a thesis. Okay. So that could be, or there were different sets of Balei HaTosfos. It could be that the one who wrote the Piske HaTosfos was working with a different set of thesis. Whatever it is, every so often there is a Piske HaTosfos in the back that doesn't correspond to a thesis that we have. So on that Gemara, the Shagasari quotes, on that Gemara there's a Piske HaTosfos that says that if the din would have been that Eser Dechel Eser, even in Beis HaMikdash, there would have not been an issue of Biyidna, because since the only way for me to get to fulfill my mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach is by cracking the bone and then getting out the marrow, so that would be called Biyidna. So that's a question, why? But it's not Biyidna, it's only Hechsha mitzvah. So that's a whole discussion. Others say there's a Rambam. The Rambam says the din of etzem lasish burabo applies both to atzomas koshim and atzomas rakim, even to soft bones. Let's say I'm going to chew the whole bone and eat the whole thing. Sometimes you have soft bones, so you can chew the bone and eat the whole thing. So they ask, how did the Rambam know that it applies even to soft bones that you can chew? Maybe it only applies to hard bones. So I think Maritz Chai suggests, because the Mora said that it should have been covered with the din of Eser Dechel Eser, and the reason why we don't permit it is because Ein Eser Dechel Eser Shabam Yigdosh. So what they say, that reason, they should have said that it's not Biyidna. So the Rambam understood the Gemara is talking about chewing the bone and eating the bone itself. The bone itself is going to be the flesh. You don't even need the Moyach Shabetzim. It's talking about a soft bone, and you can chew the bone and swallow the whole thing. So that's Biyidna. He's eating the Korban Pesach. Not that he has to crack the bone in order to be able to suck out the marrow inside. It's going to eat the bone itself.
I'd assume that the bone is considered to be meat by itself?
Yeah, that's a question. Is the Maritz Chais' interpretation correct or not? So here the Mishnah has a din. I know a family, they bought a home after Mechamet Sheshet Hayamim. So they bought a home in the Rova, and the wife was telling me that when a husband is away, he's learning and davening shul. She has nothing to do, so she plays cards. And then she looks out the window and she sees the Makam HaMikdash. She gets so scared, so she puts away the cards. So that's what the Mishnah says. Lo yeka lo adam rosha, you shouldn't play cards. Keneged beis kotshe akadoshim. Keneged shar hamizrach, shehu mechuvin keneged beis kotshe akadoshim. So Rashi explains over here. And the bayis rishon, there was a solid wall separating between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the entrance was in the middle. And if you're in the Shar HaMizrach, when you look straight ahead to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's west. So the Shar HaMizrach is on the east side, so all of the doors are Mechuvan Zeh Keneged Zeh, and you look straight in into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was only in the Bayis Rishon. But in the Bayis Sheni, they had two curtains. And the opening was not in the middle. It wasn't in the center. How did they go? One curtain, the outer curtain went from the left side. The left is what? South? Left to the north, but it didn't go all the way. So the Kangodal on Yom Kippur, when he had to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and went to the right, and then he would go in between the two curtains, then he would go in over here. So there was no opening in the middle in the Bayis Sheni. This statement in the Mishnah, Layekal Adam Rosha Keneged, Shar HaMizrach, the next line, Shehu Mechuvan Keneged, Peis Kach HaGadoshim. Mechuvan, that's only in the Bayis Rishon, Rashi says. That the opening in the Amah Traksin, in that wall that was an Amah thick, was centered. But in the Bayis Sheni, it was not centered. But still, Layekal Adam Rosha. So the Gemara is going to say examples of what's Layekal Adam Rosha. Okay. What else is required based on Mora HaMikdash? I have extreme respect for the Beis HaMikdash. Le'ikonis lahar bayis ben maklo u'ben manolo. You shouldn't walk in with your shoes. The shoes, traditionally in Europe, they didn't have paved streets. So when you would walk in the wintertime, it would rain, so you would be walking in big mud puddles. And all the shoes would have mud on top and mud on the bottom. That's why the din always was that if you touch your shoes, you have to wash your hands. If you want to say a bracha, you want to learn. Question is whether it applies bisman hazeh, because today there are no mud puddles. Although if you're walking carefully, you have paved streets. So you're walking on the pavement. You're not walking in a mud puddle. So maybe the shoes are not filthy. Maybe the bottom of the shoe. Bottom of the shoe is not even as dirty as the top of the shoe used to be years ago. Top of the shoe used to be covered with filth, with mud. So that's questionable. But officially, that's the din. You're not allowed to walk in the Harabayis with shoes on. So it's still observed today, even though it's questionable whether it should apply or not. So the Israeli soldiers who have to stand guard on the Harabayis to make sure that they don't make any trouble there, so the religious soldiers don't wear leather shoes, they'll wear sneakers. Because the poskim assume that these dinim, whenever there's a din of a shoe, like on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wear shoes, and chalitza, you have to have a shoe. Chotzanal and al raglos, so there's a machlokes hatanoim, and we assume that the din only applies if it's a leather shoe, based on the poskim in Yecheskel. The poskim describes how Kodesh Baruch Hu took the Jewish people out of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that was the birth of the nation. That's when we became a nation. So the Pasuk compares Yetzias Mitzrayim and the forming of the Jewish nation to delivering a baby. So the baby is born, the baby's all full of blood and all dirty, so you have to wash off the baby, and then you dry him off, then you put on oil, then you put on powder, then you put on a diaper, then the baby gets older, you put on clothing, you put on shoes. So the pasuk continues to describe how you deliver a baby, how you dress up the baby. So it says, "Venolach tochash." Rebbeinu Shlom says, "I put on leather shoes on you." Venolach, I put on nalayim from tachash. Tachash was a kosher animal that existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they made oris choshim to cover the top of the mishkan. So the Gemara learns that from that pasuk. That's the way we pasuk. That's only called a nal if it's made from leather. So that's why the poskim say that the religious soldiers who should not go with shoes on, and the rabbi said they go with sneakers.
I saw in Rav Kuczynski discusses in his Sefer Ira Kodesh HaMikdash. He discusses maybe it shouldn't be even that much their shoes, because the Gemara's source is Shana Lamna or Glatam, just Kama Homer, Rakika is a visa. Rabbah quotes this on the Pasuk Shana Lechem, says, like Moshe Matzino,
Yeah, Kohanim can't have a chatzitza.
May not be a din like Yom Kippur. He comes back. He says maybe the Gemara and Yavamos said.
Not pashut at all. No, it's not pashut at all. Especially the reason why not allowed to wear shoes because the shoes are filthy. Not allowed to go with a makel because the makel is also going to be filthy on the bottom. Yeah, so it really should make a difference. But that's what I think they say. Rabbi Yashiv told the soldiers after being hard bias. When was it? Half a year ago, terrorists killed a couple of Arabs on Har HaBayis, no? So the Chevra Kadisha ran in and they wanted to take out the dead bodies away. So those who knew took off their shoes. Most of the Chevra Kadisha, they'd never go on the Har HaBayis. So most of them didn't realize, but those from the Chevra Kadisha who realized this is Har HaBayis, they took off their shoes. Yeah. Ubit Pandasa, you shouldn't go with your money belt, Rashi writes. Chagor Chalul, Noslim Bomo, you shouldn't go with your money belt. Why not? But let's say if you have your wallet in your pocket, that's also asa. Pandasa is only asa to have a money belt if it's exposed. What if it's covered up? Is muta? I would think it is muta. Ovak Shagabi Raglov, you shouldn't walk in if your feet are dirty. You should wash your feet off also. It does not show. Ovak Shagabi Raglov shows what Maklav in Manolo is. But it's also because it's dirty. That's the Shana does that apply Bismanazana. Then it says, Golea Sena Kapandarya or Vikika Mikalvachaima. You shouldn't use the Harabayas as a shortcut. You want to go from one side to the other, so you don't want to walk around the whole Harabayas. You want to walk cut through the Harabayas. The Gemara says that that's also a Rikika, the spit on the floor is also. You wouldn't do that if you'd be visiting some, let's say, my next door neighbor. I want to get, let's say, there are three houses in a row. So I live in house number one, I want to get to house number three. So instead of walking all the way around and around, I'm going to ring the bell and tell my next door neighbor, I'd like to cross through your house in order to get to the third house. So you don't do that? That's not their heretz. And Rikika, I'm going to spit on the floor in someone's private home. You don't do that? So since Kapandarya and Kiki, you wouldn't do in someone else's home. So that's certainly you're not allowed to do in the Har HaBayis. But in the Beis HaKnesses, the other things wouldn't apply, but the Kapandarya and Kika, that would apply. That's even also in the Beis HaKnesses. But there's no Chiyav Mar, only Chiyav Kovin. Kol Chas Mibrocha Shev HaMikdash HaYomim Ad HaOilom. Rashi explained, let's say they would daven Shemoneh Esrei. So they would say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Chanein Hadoas. So they wouldn't say the way we say Chanein Hadoas. They say Baruch Atah Hashem. What would you say? Baruch Atah Hashem Min Ho'olam Chanein Hadoas. Blessed be God in the whole wide world. Chanein Hadoas. Every Baruch you say. Harotze b'tshuva. Baruch Atah Hashem Min Ho'olam Harotze b'tshuva. Every Baruch they would add on. Mishikilkalo had tzedukim during the Bayesheni period. There was followers of tzaddik and Baises, so they gave up the whole. They gave up a lot of belief and a lot of the ikori hamuna. They didn't follow the Torah Shabbal Peh, so they were known as the tzedukim and the Baisusim because they were followers of tzaddik and Baises. But that was way later. And this story, Mishikilkalo had tzedukim. This was day number one in the Bayesheni period. This is described in Sefer Ezra, I think, that they said right away, Minu Adam Yad Ho'elam. Because the Baisheni period, the Mishnah says in Yuma that during the Baisheni there were periods of time that the Tzdukim were running, many of the Kohanim were Tzdukim, so they were running the Beis HaMikdash and they were bringing the Karbonis not in accordance with the tradition. And every time the Chachamim was successful in kicking them out and straightening out the Hakrabas Hakrabanas in accordance with the traditions of the Torah Shabbal Peh, so they make Ayantav. When Korban Tamid was established, that it should be brought properly, when Musafim of Shavuos were established, that it should be observed properly, so they made Ayantav at that time. So the Mishnah says in Yuma they had to make the Kohen Gadol swear on Erev Yom Kippur that he's going to do the Avodah properly. He's not going to do it the way the Apikursim did it. So the Rambam, when he quotes that in Avodah Yom Kippurim, he writes the whole period of the Bais Sheni from the beginning to the end. The whole thing was problematic with the Apikursim. So that's where the Maariv Chai points out. Mishikilkalu, it shouldn't say Mishikilkalu Tzdukim. It's Dukim or later, and this Min Adam Ad Olam was from day number one. That's why the Kerek Girsah perhaps should be Mishikilkalu Haminim. Minim are the Apikursim, not the Tzdukim and the Baisusim that was later into the period of the Baishan. This was from day number one. So the Minim, the Apikursim, didn't believe in Adam Abo. So Mishikilkalu Haminim, the Yomre in Adam Elechot, it's only Adam Azeh. So then they changed the Nusach and they said, Niskin Shiyam, Min Adam Ad Olam. So one day they say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Min Ha'olam, B'chayinan Ados, and Bais Rishon. And Bais Rishon. And from day number one, and Bais Sheni, they would add on Min Ha'olam, Ad Ha'olam. So that was a Takana de Rabban. V'hiskinu, the rabbis made another Takana. Shehe Odom Shor L'Shlam Chavera B'Shem. You should greet someone else using Shem Hashem. Shenemar, who made this Takana? This was before the Bais. Before the Bais Rishon was built. You see that Boaz had such a practice. So the Gemara assumes that he made a takana. So the workers, the kotzrim, the farmer, the workers on the farm greeted him back. The Gemara says, so one may think maybe Boaz decided on his own he's going to do this. Maybe he did wrong. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah says, V'yomer, the Malach greeted Boaz, and he said, Hashem imcha gibur hachayil. So he also greeted him by mentioning Shem Hashem. Yeah, but one can say that Hashem imcha gibur hachayil wasn't that the Malach decided on his own to say that. Maybe that was a message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a message to the Malach, tell Boaz, not say good morning to him, and then the Malach said, Hashem imcha. He greeted him by mentioning Shem Hashem. Maybe that was sort of the nevuah that the Malach was supposed to deliver to Boaz, Hashem Imcha, God is going to be with you. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's the way the Malach was greeting him to say good morning. So the Mishnah says, V'yomer, let's go back to Boaz, leave out the Malach. Maybe the Malach was sent to say that message. V'yomer, let's go back to Boaz. If Boaz had that practice, then we shouldn't make fun of it and say, well, he was an old man, Boaz, he didn't know what he was doing. Al tavis gizokna imecha. You shouldn't be mevaza old minhagim. If your mother is very old and she has old practices, you shouldn't make fun. So Boaz was before David HaMelech was born. He was an ancestor of David HaMelech. David HaMelech was a descendant of Boaz and Rus HaMoaviyah. So if there were old takanas that were instituted by Chachamim who lived centuries ago, we should be respectful of their takanas and follow them. The Omer, and you have another pasuk. Islas Lashem, what's the issue? What are we making a whole pilpul? Do we follow the Malach? Do we follow the Baal? What's the shan? Shad is motzi shem shemaim levatolim. What's the avera motzi shem shemaim levatolim? So the Gemara says in the first parak in Tmura, there's an issue of es Hashem alakecha tira, out of moira of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We have to be careful not to be motzi shem shemaim latol, not to mention the name of Hashem unnecessarily. So the question is so when you say a pasuk, that's necessary. When you say a bracha, mentioning shem Hashem is necessary. But when you greet someone good morning, you can say good morning. What do you have to say? Hashem imcha gibracha. What do you have to mention shem Hashem? So it's a chashash of motzi shem shemaim latol. So Rashi writes over here, the last Rashi on the Mishnah, right before it says the word gemar. So the pasuk says, "Eslas Lashem." If you have a big shas atzorech, a ferut arasecha, you're permitted to do dava hanira isur, something that looks like it's an isur. It's not really an isur. It looks like an isur. I remember when I was a student in yeshiva, Rabbi Lichtenstein once gave a special shiur on this topic, on this Rashi. So he collected all the cases in halacha where the Gemara quotes the pasuk, "Eslas Lashem, a ferut arasecha." One of them is the Gemara in Temura. The Gemara says that it's not permissible to write down Torah Shabbat Peh. Dvarim Shabbat Peh, Yat Torah Shel Yomim B'Ksav. So how come we study Gemara and Mishnayis from printed text? We study Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. So the Gemara says, Eslas Hashem Efer Torah Sechem. So the Poshim Pshat in the Gemara we usually learn is that the rabbis were afraid the whole Torah Shabbat Peh would be forgotten, so they allowed us to violate this sin. We're all doing a sin by learning the Torah Shabbat Peh Mitor Chaksav. So from this Rashi it would appear it's not really an Issa, it's a Dava Hanira Issa. Whenever you're quoting this Pasuk, we permit you to do something which is near Issa. So why isn't it an Issa, let's say, to learn Torah Shabbat Peh mitoch haksav? So I seem to remember, this was a story from over 60 years ago, I think Rabban Lichtenstein suggested that maybe the Issa of Dvarim Shabbat Peh, Yad Rashi Aliyam and Biksav, maybe the din is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants we should know that there's a difference between Torah and Torah Shabbat Peh. So if you're going to have a Mishnayis with Nekudas and with Trup, and it's going to look like a Mikros Gedolos, and people are going to think that this is Tanakh and that this is Torah, you're going to mistake it for Torah Shabbat Peh, so that's the Issa. Baruch Shalman says to know what's Torah Shabbat, what's Torah Shabbat Peh. But the Gemaras are printed in such a way, we have Rashi on the inside, Tosfos on the outside, says everybody knows that it's a Gemara. Everybody knows it's not part of Tanakh. So that was his suggestion, I think. That's what he said. I remember seeing Chacham Avadya has a tshuva where he deals with this. What's the pshat Tosfos Hashem Aferet Osecha? Everyone's violating an Iser. So he gives different suggestions. So he says, some say that whole drush is only with the Rabbanan. But if you should assume the simple meaning in the Gemara that it's really a din deraisa, so the Chacham Avadya quotes, I think, from the Sefer Yireim, that it's not an aveira. The kiyam mitzvah b'shleimusa of Talmud Torah is that if you learn Torah shebichsav, you should say, the Baal Kori should lay mitor chaksav, and Torah shebaal peh should be transmitted baal peh. If you're going to transmit Torah shebaal peh by reading a text, you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah b'shleimusa. But it doesn't mean that you did an aveira. You didn't become the mitzvah b'shleimusa. So the Chachamim saw, if they're going to continue to insist that all the learning of Torah Shabbat Peh should be transmitted Baal Peh, chunks of the Torah Shabbat Peh will be lost. They'll simply be forgotten. You have to have a text, otherwise it's going to be forgotten. So they said, let's settle and fulfill the mitzvah Shalom B'Shleim Musa, rather than fulfill the B'Shleim Musa and run the risk of losing a lot of Torah Shabbat Peh. So we'll settle when we'll come to the mitzvah. But if you ever do the mitzvah of Talmud Torah Shalom B'Shleim Musa, if you learn the Torah Shabbat Peh mitor chaksav. That's an easy pshat. What's over here? Here it's easy. Here it's not so difficult. Here it's easy. What's Eisas Lashem? It isn't really Motzi Shem Shemaim Lo'atol. It's not Lo'atol. He wants to greet the other person. We are so Ashkenazim, are so touchy about this, so we don't do this anymore. How come we don't show B'Shalom Chaver B'Shem? How come we don't do it? If the Mishnah says they made a takana, so Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim, that the Rambam never quotes this. The Rambam apparently thought that it was only a takana l'shor. It wasn't a takana l'dervis. In that generation, they felt, in the generation of Boaz, he felt that it was necessary to, Shem Shemayim should be more rogal al pihim. So they made a takana for that generation. Doesn't apply in future generation. That's why the Rambam didn't quote. The Rav Soloveitchik said that's why his grandfather, Rav Chaim, when he would write a letter, he wouldn't write Beis Hei, Beis Samach Dalet, and the beginning, because Beis Hei is the takana of Shol B'Shlam Chaver B'Shem. When you send the letter to someone, you're greeting him, so you're starting off by mentioning Shem Hashem, and the Rambam didn't quote the takana, so he thinks that the takana doesn't apply B'Zman Hazeh. Rav Chaim didn't want to be left out. Everybody else starts Beis Hei. So in the middle of the letter, he would always write about something that's going to take place in the future. So he would write, B'tois Hashem, I'll be there. Or B'tois Hashem, we'll do this. So he'd mention Shem Hashem in the middle of the letter. The Ragachavar also. The Ragachavar, as a child, learned together with Rav Chaim. They learned B'chavrusa. They learned by the Beis HaLevi, by Rav Chaim's father. That's why they have the story. They tell the story that they once asked the Ragachavar, as a child, as a young child, who knows how to learn better, you or Chaim? So he says, ooh, he doesn't know what to answer. If he's going to say that he knows how to learn better. That's Gaiva began to say, Chaim knows how to learn better. That's not true. He doesn't know what to answer. So Chaim said, now you did both. Now you violated both. It's not true, and it is Gaiva. Yeah. So they had a totally different Derech Halima. Chaim, even though they learned together as children, and they learned by the Beis Halev, but they had a totally different Derech. Totally different Derech.
Isn't it much more of the Mishnah that does apply in the future, because otherwise why the Gemara quote that if Kinu Shal Shalmanam Bashim, if it was a history lesson once upon a time, and it was not meant for other generations, it's not necessary to mention the Mishnah.
Yeah, that's what it says. Sounds like it's a din l'doros, yeah. But he thought since the Rama didn't quote it, so the Rama understood that it's a Hirosh, sure. Yeah, Posh Pshat is that it is a din l'doros. So the Rav Shabbat also wouldn't write Beis Hay at the beginning of his letters. And someone once asked him why, so he sent a letter, he explained why. They have it in the collection of letters that's called Shadis Uchivas Tzafnas Panech, was printed in New York originally. So that's called Tzafnas Panech, New York. The other Tzafnas Panechs on the Rambam were printed by the Rogachev himself in Europe. So he says that the Gemara in Shavuah says there is Zayin Shem Shem Nimchokim, seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shakai, Tzvakos, Kel, Alekim, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Aleph Dal Nun Yud. There's seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu you're not allowed to erase. Chana Barachim is only a kinoi, it's a description. The others are Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the Rambam writes, let's say the name Tzivakos. So someone only wrote Tzadik. Or someone wrote Tzadik base. So there's no Shem Hashem. So that you may erase. But if you wrote Aleph, Aleph Lamed from Elohim, so you're not allowed to erase it, because Aleph Lamed is already a Shem Hashem. But if you wrote Yud Kei from Yud Kei Vav Kei, so Kor is one of the Zayin Shem Shem Mechakim, so you're not allowed to erase that. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara. And then he says, Aleph Lamed from Elohim, you're not allowed to erase, because it's already a Shem Bifnei Atzma. Yud Kei from Yud Kei Vav Kei, not allowed to erase. Shem Bifnei Atzma. And then he says, V'hu Mitzas Men Hashem HaMefarosh. So what is he explaining over there? So I think there's a Hasagas Arayvet, if I'm not mistaken, Hilchas Yisrei Atar, when the Rambam quotes the Zayin Shemus, so I think there's a Hasagas Arayvet. So the Ragachava understood, or misunderstood, one way or the other. He understood the Rambam as saying that if you write Yud, from Yud Kei Vav Kei, also you're not allowed to erase it. Not only Yud Kei, that's what it says in the Gemara. Aleph Dal from Elokim, or Yud Kei from Yud Kei Vav Kei. But then the Rambam added on, V'hu Miktus Men Hashem Am Farosh. So the Ragachava thought that that's adding on, even if you write a Hey from Yud Kei Vav Kei, you're not allowed to erase it. That's number one, Chiddush number one. Rav Soloveitchik thought the whole premise was not correct. And then he says, premise number two, Chiddush number two, is when you write Beis Hay in the beginning of a letter, you write the Hay, you have in mind the Hay from Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's what the people have in mind. Beis Hay, they have in mind the Hay from Yud Kei Vav Kei. They write, they mean Baruch Hashem, Be'ezus Hashem, Hay Shin Mem Hashem. So the Gachava thought that the people have in mind the Hay from Yud Kei Vav Kei because the Rambam says, you're not allowed to write Miktzas Men Hashem Am Farosh. So that's why he didn't want to write it in the beginning of his letters, because people would throw it in the garbage. No. Strange Rav Soloveitchik didn't like it at all. They were always, whatever Rav Soloveitchik would speak for the Mizrahi, or speak for the Rabbinical Council of America, so there was always someone who would introduce him. So on one occasion, they introduced him by saying over a word that he said in the name of the Ragachava. But he got up and he said, it's a nice word, but I never said it in the name of the Ragachava. He said, there's a family tradition, they never quote anything from the Ragachava. Because the Ragachava had a totally different style of thinking on everything. So he said, it's a nice, interesting word, but he didn't say it. Anyway, this is the Mishnah. Okay. So the Gemara says, more comments. How do you know that there's an institution of saying Birchas Hashevach, even though it's not a Hoidah? Hoidah means I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Toivah that he did to me. Hashevach, I praise the Rabbanu Shel Olam. It's not a Toivah to me. It's not a Toivah to me. I don't own a farm, but it's raining, so I'm happy that it's raining in Eretz Yisrael. Or I see beautiful, breathtaking mountains or something like that, beautiful lakes. They say Brochem Marsa Minahan. Immediately, how do you know that there's an Indian of saying a Bichas Hashevach, even though there's no element of Oidor? So Rabbi Yechanan says from the Pasuk Yisro, says Baruch Hashem Shehitzi Lischem Miad Para Miad Mitzray. Yisro was not from the Jewish nation, so he was not saved. So it wasn't a Bichas Hoidor, it was a Bichas Hashevach. So you see, and the Chumash records that Baruch Hashem Shehitzi Lischem Miad Mitzray. So the Chumash records, but he said, not that we're learning out from Yisro, it could be that he never said this. It could be that the Pasuk is... could be he never said it like this, but the Pasuk, it's the gist of what he said. So the Pasuk writes that that's what he said, to teach us that that's the correct thing to do. We should always recite brachas, even if it's just a birchas shevach, even if there is no element of vaydor. So then the Gemara says, commenting on the Mishnah, the opening line of the Mishnah says, Aram Mokm Shanas Ba Nisim Li Yisrael, and this happened to the whole Jewish nation, was saved. The Gemara asks, Anisa the Rabbi Barchinan, only if the Nes occurred to the whole Jewish nation. Anisa the Yochid Loimer Barchinan, if a Yochid experienced a miracle, he was spared from death. He doesn't say a brocha, Frek Digmar. But who Gavra, once upon a time there was a man, that because of Yiri Yamina, he was traveling in a certain location. He was attacked by a lion, Nafal Ale Arya. A lion attacked him, Misavidle Nisa, it's a Mina, and as occurred, it was Nitzel from the lion. Came to Rav, and the Rav said, whenever you pass that location, even though there's nothing special in the location, he just remembers that that's the location. There's no thing, nothing, to, no demarcation over there that you should know that that's where it happened. But whenever you pass that place, you should recite it, Baruch, Baruch, Shosel, Ines, Ba'amokam Hazeh. Then Gemara said, there was another Ramor, Marbre de Ravina, son of Ravina. He was traveling in a different location, Pixel Darab. He was so thirsty for a drink of water. I guess it was summertime, and it's like Sahara Desert or something. The sun was beating down. He was gonna dehydrate. Isabele Nisa, so he needed the water quickly. Isabele Nisa, Ibelaena Demai Vishti. In the middle of nowhere, a fountain of water appeared, and he had a drink. Then on another occasion, Zimnachor, another occasion, he was going in a different location, Rista, the Mahuza. He was at the Nafalale Gamla Pritza. A wild camel attacked him, and he didn't know how was he going to get away from the camel. So miraculously, the door from a house fell off, and he ran into the house, and the camel was too big, he couldn't squeeze in the door. There was only enough for a human being to go in. The gigantic camel couldn't go in, so it was Nitzel. So every time he would be traveling in Pixa Daros, he would say the Bracha Baruch Shasa Menes Ba'mokam Azeh U'Begomel. Then when he came to the other location, he said Baruch Shasa Menes Begomel U'Barobis. That's what you see from the Gemara. So the Kasha of the Gemara is, you see that even if a Nesta occurred to a Yochid, you also say a Bracha. So why does the Mishnah only say a Nesta that occurred to all the Klal Yisrael? So to this, the Gemara answers, Amri, the answer is, Anisa the Rabbim, all the Jewish people have to say a bracha when you pass that location where the nest occurred to the Jewish people centuries ago, 3,000 years ago, because we're all descendants from those people. And he said, a private person had a nest, that person who had the nest has to say the bracha. Then the Vilna Gaon Adzan, this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, the Girsus Hagon of Arif is he, his children, and his grandchildren. If they were born after the nest occurred, if they were born before, so the nest doesn't relate to them. But if the nest saved their grandfather's life, and they were born later, and if not for the nest, they wouldn't have been born. The grandfather would have been dead. So then the nest is relevant to them. So up until two generations later, the grandchildren also say the brach, but the old quality soul doesn't say the brach. So you see from this Gemara an interesting idea. Whenever one has an obligation to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is Hoidor. This is a Birchas Hoidor. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Yeshua that he gave you. So you shouldn't only thank him for this Yeshua, you should thank him also by the Gomel. He thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Ness with the lion. And then when he's in the location where he had the Ness with the lion, then he should mention the Gomel as well. So we do that a lot, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. We do in Birchas HaMazon, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the fact that he gave us Eretz Yisrael. Over Eretz Yisrael, But once we have an obligation to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave us Eretz Avos, so we say, Al Shatzisanim Eretz Mitzrayim, we've Tzisanim Beis Avarim. We thank Him for other things as well. And Halal also, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever you have a Yeshua. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the other wonderful things that He did. Whenever you have an obligation to thank, say thank on everything. So then the Brisa lists off a whole bunch of places which are mentioned in Tanakh, that these are considered to fall under this category of Haroya Mokum Shin Asabon Isim Li Yisro. So the Brisa lists off a whole bunch. I have to apologize, I gotta leave. Okay. So Beli Neder, right? Sunday maybe is a normal day. Every day is up to Yetzim and Akhlal. There's no Akhlal anymore. Just checked. Sunday, I think, is normal, so believe that I plan to learn on Sunday.
What time do they usually learn on Sunday?